From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Among the many ill effects of climate change on our planet and our species are rising incidences of disease. Asthma and breathing disorders in particular are expected to rise as temperatures rise. Polluting industries have already had a deep impact on communities, particularly in low-income areas, so much so that school teachers are routinely expected to help children with their inhalers. There is still research into the causes and spread of asthma, but climate change-driven unpredictable weather patterns are likely to muddy the picture even more. How can we as a society address a disease such as asthma in such an environment? My guest is Allison Kenner, assistant professor at the Department of Politics and the Center for Science, Technology, and Society at Drexel University, and she joins me to discuss her new book. It's called Breathtaking: Asthma Care in a Time of Climate Change. Welcome to the program, Allison.
Thank you so much, Sonali. Thank you so much for having me.
So for those people who aren't familiar with the impacts of asthma, if you don't have a member of the family or you yourself haven't struggled with this, first describe how debilitating this disease is. It's a respiratory disease that really is quite dangerous and also panic-inducing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so and asthma can be really variable. And I think that's probably the first thing that I would start off by mentioning is that it can be a very unpredictable illness. And so, you know, from year to year, from season to season, the symptoms can be more severe, they can be different. You know, you might be triggered by something that produces a cough in one case, and then something different will trigger breathlessness. So the disease can be very variable and unpredictable, and that unpredictability can make it even not only difficult to manage with medication and other care techniques, but it can make it very scary because you just don't know what to expect. You know, an asthma attack can ramp up very quickly, very fast, into something that's uncontrolled. So the uncertainty around the symptoms can be very scary.
For children especially, and children are quite impacted by asthma, as I mentioned about, inhalers at schools being something that that schools have to deal with, and administering inhalers unfortunately becomes part of a teacher's job. How impactful is asthma? I mean, it's just hard enough for a kid being a kid, and one who's struggling with asthma, it's even harder.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, part of what I found in my research, which, you know, other people have, found the same in their own research, is that asthma limits your life in a number of ways. So it can prevent you from socializing with friends. It can prevent you from going places. It can prevent you from taking certain jobs or living in certain areas. And it can make you so that you might not want to try new things, limits in many cases your ability to perhaps play sports. For some of the interviews that I did, which were with all adults, that was more common in the 80s. For example, today, I think that with medications, there's less. More people are, for example, able to play sports successfully with asthma, but it limits your life overall in ways that vary from person to person. For children, this can really shape their outlook on life and what they feel like they might be capable of doing, what they might want to try. In addition to kind of impacting, you know, there's missed school days. They might have to miss class, if they're going to use medication at a nurse's office, for example, or, you know, if they're sick. So, I mean, if you think about it, breathing is so essential to our health. If you're struggling to breathe, that's going to be very distracting from schoolwork, or if you're an adult, distracting from your job and know, responsibilities.
So how have we seen rates of asthma incidence change over time? Are we seeing a clear correlation with a warming planet?
Yeah, that's a really wonderful question. So in the 1980s, we saw a huge spike in the 1980s and the 1990s with the asthma epidemic. And that's really when a lot of national attention began to focus on the disease, and especially childhood asthma. The, you know, prevalent rates of asthma began to taper off and plateau in the 21st century. Among the general population, there are certain population groups that the rates were rising, but overall the rates held, and we weren't seeing a spike in new cases. Now, I can't speak globally. My research is focused on the U.S. I would like to look more closely at the data to see how global rates of asthma are rising, particularly in countries where you're seeing an uptick in air pollution. We do not have, I don't think, good data yet to show how climate change is increasing asthma prevalence rates.
Right.
That's something that I'd be interested to learn more about. I think it's probably too soon to track a correlation there. But certainly scientists are saying that asthma is going to become more difficult to manage as a disease over time with climate change. I mean, the relationships are pretty clear there.
Right. Now, on the reason why rates plateaued and tapered off, is there a correlation with regulations on air pollution? I mean, we're here in Southern California, where the smog problem, through very strict regulation, has been under control after it was, you know, it became this really important issue. And I'm wondering if asthma rates corresponded with strict regulations, or stronger regulations, I should say, on air pollution.
Yeah, that's a really, again, an excellent question. And I think that I don't know that I have a clear answer for that. And the reason why I don't have a clear answer for that is that, you know, air pollution can be very local.
Right.
And so, you know, you might see rates improve in Los Angeles, for example, that is associated with, you know, better air quality regulations and reduced industrial emissions, or fewer cars on the road, better vehicle efficiency. I mean, air pollution is just one of the things that contributes to
right.
asthma. So I'm thinking about Philadelphia. And we've seen asthma rates increasing in Philadelphia over the last decade. It has not gotten any better. And it's not clear to me what the story with air pollution in this city anyways is. So I think, and that's the value of studying these problems in particular places, in particular cities, looking at the relationship between policy and air pollution. I feel like we need to do better by air pollution regulation. I think we've been slow to make sure that policy keeps up with changes in industrial practices. And so I don't want to say that necessarily we're doing better around air pollution.
It depends on the region, of course, and it depends on who's in power in government, and depends on the regulators at the EPA. But some of what we were just talking about speaks to the fact that asthma is not a fully understood disease, right? And you write a little bit about that in your book. Can you speak to that? That its causes, its spread, you know, from generation to generation, there is thought to be some sort of genetic factor, is just not clearly understood. You add in an unpredictable weather pattern because of climate change, and then it becomes perhaps even harder to study, and certainly harder to manage, right?
Yep. Yeah, and so there's scientists are looking at different asthma phenotypes. So you know, for example, at least 50% of people with asthma also have allergies. So we have one phenotype, allergic asthma, that has been kind of the dominant paradigm for understanding asthma as a disease. And so most of what we know about asthma more or less kind of follows the profile of that particular phenotype. And there's other, you know, a number of other asthma phenotypes, exercise-induced asthma, so people who are particularly triggered in circumstances when they're exercising, when they're outside and working very hard, cardiovascular. Olympians have been one of the study groups for this. And then you have, there's an asthma phenotype which is particularly resistant to certain kinds of medication. But even the kind of phenotype range is still debated and not well understood. All we know really is that there are different variants of asthma. And that in and of itself, not always knowing what variant of asthma might be hitting a person, can make it more difficult to manage and care for, because, you know, there's some evidence to suggest that not all phenotypes or variants of asthma respond the same to the medications that we have available today.
What are the correlations with socioeconomic and also racial and social backgrounds of asthma patients? Do we see a strong correlation of asthma rates for poorer non-white communities?
Yeah, and so socioeconomic conditions are certainly, I think, probably one of the most studied and understood factors in the U.S. asthma epidemic today. It's very clear that, you know, communities who are suffering from environmental justice, who are living closer to major roadways, to industrial facilities, have higher asthma prevalence rates. There's been, you know, good studies that have been done in New York City, Houston, and even Buffalo, New York, showing patterns here. Housing conditions are another major factor in asthma, which is related to socioeconomic conditions at the community level. So most of, I think, the socioeconomic and also relationships to race and ethnicity are really about infrastructure. It's really about how we are caring for our environments or not. And, you know, how we have maintained our environments, how we're protecting them, and the communities that live there. That's, I think, probably we have the strongest understanding there, that if we're not caring for our built and natural environments, then that increases our inability to breathe.
Right. And of course, our natural environments are degrading directly as a result of climate change and other environmental issues. What about our healthcare system? Because we live at a time when healthcare is so politicized, not considered a right for all Americans in this country. Depending upon the kind of health insurance or health plan you might have, if you even have health insurance at all, your ability to manage asthma as a disease, particularly in children, is far more complicated, right?
Yeah, and this was, you know, probably one of the strongest, most important findings for me from this research that I did, doing interviews with adults who are living with asthma, is that the ability to access and afford healthcare is probably one of the most significant factors in caring for asthma. I mean, the number of people I interviewed who were resistant to becoming too dependent on healthcare and access to medication was really striking to me. The idea that they would have to be on medication for the rest of their lives was incredibly scary and unsustainable for folks that I interviewed, just because of the fluctuations in our healthcare system and the increasing difficulty it is to get access and afford healthcare, medication, and also doctor's visits, and your ability to see a specialist. So a lot of people I found were actually kind of tailoring their asthma care practices in such a way that they didn't need to become dependent, or they wouldn't necessarily need to go see a doctor or for medication, which is really scary, because you know the data shows that when you have access to medical care and you have access to affordable medication, that makes asthma so much easier to live with.
Right. We also have problems with the pharmaceutical industry and the price of drugs, the price of things like inhalers, and especially emergency medication that you need, that you know, those suffering from asthma need to keep with them at all times. How does that play into the ability to manage asthma?
So it's really interesting. It's much easier to get access to rescue inhalers than it is to get access to medications that prevent asthma attacks. So there's two forms of
asthma. Rescue inhalers are basically the emergency medication.
That's the emergency medication. It's cheaper and it's easier to get a prescription for. But the preventative inhalers are much more expensive and can be more difficult to get a prescription for. But those are the daily medication that you would take in order to, that's what prevents asthma attacks for the majority of asthma sufferers. Now, some people don't need preventative medications because they're only having asthma attacks a couple times a year and it's not really needed. But many people benefit greatly from being on these preventative, they're called daily controller inhalers, but they're much more expensive.
So when we have a society where healthcare is unpredictable, where the cost of drugs are unpredictable, where the climate is warming, making our weather unpredictable, and you have a disease that's not fully understood, how do researchers and those people who are living with asthma manage? And of course, that's what your book was attempting to explore in these interviews you conducted with folks. Do you have any, let's focus the last couple of minutes on some of the suggestions that you make, some of these modes of care that you explore in your book for people who either have to struggle with it themselves or manage it themselves, or are around people who have asthma?
Yeah, so I think the two things that I'm thinking of right now, number one, for researchers, I mean, because asthma is an environmental health problem, you know, the environment is really complicated. And when you add social and economic factors into all of this, I mean, it's really a very difficult thing to study. It's complicated. There's a lot of factors that play into it. And that's why I think researchers, when you see more kind of interdisciplinary collaborative research that's being done with specific communities, you know, that can make the research on asthma more robust. Number two, I think, you know, I mentioned this in my book in the fifth chapter, you know, we've for a long time thought about asthma triggers, you know, these things that cause asthma attacks. Air pollution, cigarette smoke, pollen, dust, vehicle emissions. And really, things are more complicated than that. It's not just a one-to-one relationship with triggers. Again, it's about environmental conditions, which are much more complicated. And I think as we move away from thinking about these singular environmental objects as the problem, and we start thinking about our environmental context, the places where we live in a more holistic fashion, we'll be much better positioned to think about broad social solutions to the asthma epidemic.
Well, I want to thank you so much for joining us today, Allison, and for this work that you've done. Really appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Sonali.
Allison Kenner has been my guest. She's an assistant professor at the Department of Politics in the Center for Science, Technology, and Society at Drexel University. We've been discussing her new book, Breathtaking, Asthma Care in a Time of Climate Change. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.